Paul, the Republican Party of Brazos County has issued a news release regarding the campaigning going on in the House District 14 special election. If you could summarize what the news release says.
Bill, basically it's to address the issue of negative campaigning. And negative campaigning is nothing new in the political world. However, whenever you breach certain codes, then I think we have to point that out, not only to the candidate, but to make the voter aware of certain elements of a political campaign that may affect their vote. So what we chose to do, in light of the fact that we've seen a series of mailers that have come out, we've seen YouTube videos come out. We've got, and by the way, these contain some half-truths, a lot of innuendo, and what we have elected to do is go back to the Code of Fair Campaign Practice, which all of the candidates sign off on when they file for election. And I want to make clear that we're not talking about anything that affects election law, as we had in one news report recently. There's a clear difference between election law and the Code of Fair Campaign Practice. If election law is violated, which there is nothing here to indicate that there's been any kind of violation of election law, we're talking about a typical campaign in the latter stages of the campaign. The Code of Fair Campaign Practice, which anybody can access if they just do a simple Google search for the state of Texas and Code of Fair Campaign Practice, it will describe for you what a typical campaign should look like from the candidate's point of view. For instance, Article 1 says, I will conduct the campaign openly and publicly and limit attacks on my opponent to legitimate challenges to my opponent's record and stated positions on issues. Well, if we go in and look at what is a legitimate challenge, if we have half-truth and innuendo in any kind of campaign material, that is a direct affront to the Code of Fair Campaign Practice. And so, and we've had a number of it throughout this campaign, Bill. Article 2, I will not use or permit the use of character defamation, whispering campaigns, libel, slander, or scurrilous attacks on any candidate or the candidate's personal or family life, which we've seen some of that as well. And so the news release was meant to address and draw the candidates back to the Code of Fair Campaign Practice, which they all signed. And hopefully, which we've, in the news release, we've asked all of the candidates to reaffirm their commitment to the Code of Fair Campaign. Anyway, we've asked them to go back in and reaffirm their commitment to the Code of Fair Campaign Practice, which we haven't seen any statements yet, but Bill, we're hoping to see some of those shortly.
The news release also specifically makes a reference to the campaign code Article 7. I will immediately and publicly repudiate methods and tactics that may come from others that I have pledged not to use or condone. I shall take firm action against any subordinate who violates any provision of this code or the laws governing elections. Why was that emphasized?
Well, I think the reason it's emphasized is what I was just saying, that we want the candidates to reaffirm their commitment to all of these articles in the Code of Fair Campaign Practice, because they're put in place for a reason. Now, this is a voluntary form they sign, and assuming that they have read it and have not just signed off on it without reading the content, you would hope that every candidate will adhere to the articles in here. Now, the other thing, Bill, and this is a lesson learned, too, for us on the local party level. Whenever we vet a candidate, when we set them down before the leadership committee, and Randy Hermas begins a meeting, and they are asked very pointed questions, from this point forward, we will have some type of code of fair campaign practice issued on the local level. So I think it's important to note that we have very important campaigns that are upcoming. We have House District 12. We'll also have the senatorial election to replace Steve Ogden. We're going to ask candidates to voluntarily sign off at a local level so that we can be more fully charged with watching their campaigns to make sure they adhere to them. Because as the news reporter asked me yesterday, what's the penalty for the violating the Code of Fair Campaign Practice? Well, there really is none. But if from this point forward, if we say on a local level, we think you're in clear violation of the Code of Fair Campaign Practice, we could withdraw support from a candidate. And I think it's important that all of the candidates heretofore know that we will be watching them very carefully.
And let me back up just to confirm what you said a little while ago, that you're still waiting for the three Republican candidates for House District 14 to do their reaffirmation?
Correct.
So
that
does
would be nice to see.
So does that action rise to the level of withdrawing party support?
No, not at this time, because we don't have any apparatus for doing that. I mean, we don't have the same code of fair campaign practice here at the local level. This is signed in Austin, and if you know, the Republican Party of Texas is a big party, and there's many campaigns going on statewide, so it would have to rise to a level probably getting the national conscience or something. But we don't have anything in place locally at this time. However, our leadership committee, we've already spoken, and from this point forward, we will have a piece of paper in front of them when they sit down before the leadership committee.
How does this potentially damage the chances of a conservative candidate winning this election?
Are you referring to the type of campaigning or the reporting?
Let's start with the type of campaigning to this point, because the last sentence of the news release says we must present our issues to the voters with a clear vision, a vision which gives the voters the opportunity to send a true conservative to the state legislature. And well, and if there's all this negative campaigning getting in the way.
Well, that's, you know, ultimately our concern here is twofold. We have naturally the concern of the candidate, because we have hundreds of thousands of dollars that are spent on a campaign. But beyond that, we have to give kind of a due process to the voter. And if you have half-truth and innuendo in any campaign material, what that does is gives the voter pause to say, well, you know what, I just gave a $100 check to one of the particular candidates. I didn't know they were for that position. And they may not have the ability to go in like we do, Bill, and find out. Let's say you're sitting at the coffee table and just received a mailer, and you don't have the ability to find out if something is truth or fact, and you already gave a campaign donation to one of the candidates, then it could prejudice your vote. I mean, we put in the news release that we must present a clear vision, because the voters, the candidates do not have time to knock on every door, although they wish they could, and meet with every registered voter in Brazos County. So they reach them through campaign material and ads on television and ads on the radio and hopefully WTAW, right? But if you prejudice the voter, then you're really creating the illusion of somebody that you're not. And so I think for the voter to have the goal is that every voter who's going to go to the polls has a very clear vision of who the candidates are when they go vote. And I know that's a long-winded answer, but you know, our concern ultimately is for the voter, the hopefully Republican voter, to go to the polls. We don't care. We'll take Democrat votes too. But if you try through to insinuate that one of the candidates is for a position they're not, and whether that be in printed material on television or radio, you're really doing a disservice to the voter. And negative campaigning, Bill, as we know historically, the unfortunate thing is that negative campaigning usually works. However, there's in this instance, we've had we've had so many phone calls we can't count, but the number of responses has been largely that this has been a major turnoff to voters. The negative campaigning, that is.
The news release, I'm just going to go back to the second paragraph where it says each candidate voluntarily signed. And I'm sorry for splitting hairs. Are you making a reference to just the three Republican candidates or to all five in the field?
All five have the opportunity. They, for a special election, they had to file with the Secretary of State's office in Austin. And they all, our candidates, all three, signed the voluntary form. So I can't speak to the other two candidates, Bill.
And likewise, the sentence that follows, there have been numerous violations of this code. How many of the Republican candidates are accused of violating the code?
I'd say the good answer is between one and three.
Have you or a member of the party leadership have had face-to-face contact with those who are accused of violating the code to voice the concerns or however you want to phrase a meeting that you've had?
Yes, we have. And I've been in contact with all three camps, and I've urged all three to reaffirm their commitment to the code. And we anxiously wait on them to reaffirm.
Anything else that listeners ought to know other than getting out to vote?
Well, that's the biggest thing is, the question keeps coming up over and over. What do I think the voter turnout's going to be like percentage-wise? Well, we would hope it would be 60%, but we know it probably won't. But we have one of the most important legislative sessions in Texas history coming up, and it's going to be a tough session. There's going to be a focus on about five primary areas and funding for those. So you just can't stress enough, Bill, how important it is to that one vote can make a difference. And whenever you have five candidates, and we have three in this horse race, one vote will clearly make a difference. So I would just urge all of your listeners to know that it could be their vote that makes a difference on whether or not somebody is sent to Austin, Texas or not. And I don't know if there's any more incentive than that, but this one vote, and it could be anywhere in Brazos County, that vote could be the determining factor of whether or not somebody is sent to Austin, Texas. And we need the right person there with the right leadership skills. And we are supportive of all of our candidates, and we wish them well.